Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to CTT 9 Months 2021 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be the question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance over the phone, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speakers today, João Bento and Gil Pacheco. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the third quarter 2021 results webcast. Moving to the presentation, and if you follow me with the presentation on the first slide, we declare that it's been an earnings showing resilient growth. It was indeed a good quarter in all business areas, but mail with the quarterly growth in revenues of 8.1% based mostly on Express and Parcels and the bank. This was achieved notwithstanding the deterioration observed in mail due to lower than expected inbound. In fact, inbound revenues were penalized by the end of the de minimis VAT exemption for non-European Union inflows, as you know, and this had a stronger than expected impact. On the other hand, Business Solutions is driving customer loyalty and contributing to further revenue growth, and even more so Express and Parcels with an above market growth in for the business area in Spain, translating into positive EBITDA for the accumulated 9 months of this year. This is a significant anticipation of the initial turnaround targets that we have announced back in 2019. We have consolidated our leadership position in the Portuguese CEP market while focusing on complementary commerce value chain solutions which are driving, as we will see later on, the very growing of the market. We have a continued growth of consumer and auto credit portfolios underpinning the growth in the bank business. Moving to slide number two. Well, I would highlight another consecutive quarter with revenues above, this time slightly above 200 million euros, with the recurring EBIT of 11 million euros. That, as you can see in the bottom of the slide, now is based on a much flatter contribution of the several business units to the formation of EBIT. This was mostly based on mail, not so long ago, and now with significant contributions from Express and Parcels, from the bank, and of course, financial services and retail. Moving to slide number six, third slide in the deck, and expanding on Express and Parcels, we are calling an healthy growth on the business area, driven by market growth and market share gains in the Spanish operation as the main attribute for the quarter. This growth has been observed both in volumes and in revenues with significant growth ratios between last year and this year for the quarter, roughly 37% in terms of volumes and almost 31% for revenues. And with this, we are moving from a considerably negative EBIT that we had in the business area not so long ago, the third quarter of 2019, -2, to almost +2 in this quarter. Moving to slide number seven. We are continuing the rollout of complementary CEP solutions in the commerce value chain. That is contributions in which we play an active role to expand the market itself. We have here highlighted some of the most interesting facets for the quarter, starting with cargo. We have now a new operating model of last mile B2B cargo with a specialized partner, so this is a much more efficient operating form it allows us to keep an interesting cargo offer, and in this process we have also actively managed pricing, and with that we have removed the less interesting sectors, such for example tires, which was very negatively contributing to the business. Then we are now moving at a faster pace on e-fulfillment, and this with different forms of delivery, in which same day delivery we decided to call the attention, and now we are doing that on a regular basis for large retailers like, for example, Nors and Vorten, and we have started also instant food delivery with Zomato and in Lisbon and Porto to start. We have also been very active on developing the Pusos network, which has now more than 2,000 points of presence in Portugal, of which 150 are parcel lockers. This is growing on a weekly basis, and we have a very aggressive project to deploy much larger parcel lockers network. And we are taking advantage of the fact that we have our own technology and production. So a number of initiatives that will and keeps contributing to grow the Portuguese market. Moving to slide number 8, we can see some of these consequences with an interesting and steady growth, notwithstanding the reduced contribution of cargo for revenues, but for healthy reasons, I would say. And with that, we have seen that part of the growth is based on capturing large Chinese retailers, some of them injecting directly on the CEP network in Portugal for the first time, and also revenues that although the cargo contribution declined due to the churn of those unprofitable clients, still with positive contribution for revenues and interesting growth even also for Portugal. Moving to slide number 9, the figures in Spain, very interesting revenue growth. This is driven, as I said before, by solid market share gains. We've been able to sustain the growth momentum that was generated during the pandemic, which became an important part of the turnaround plan, and therefore volumes keep growing very consistently, almost 80% between the third quarter last year to and this year's third quarter. And the same in revenues, with a 70% growth, resulting on a very solid year-on-year revenue growth. Moving to slide number 10, and looking at market share gains, this is driven by B2C client acquisition on top of a market that is growing itself considerably. We've been watching a compound growth between B2B and B2C of 19% from 2017 to 2020, and we are foreseeing a significant growth, especially based with almost flat or lower growth on B2B, but there's an impressive growth on B2C, and we see ourselves grabbing part of this growth, and again on top of that market share growth. And if you look at the right-hand side of the slide, moving from 3% to 4% in the last 3 years means that we have grew a third of our market share, which is, for a very large market, very interesting. Moving to slide number 11, the profitability in Spain stems from a contribution or a combination of various aspects, of course, growth, efficiency, and the fact that we are increasing scale. Scale is very important because some of the fixed costs are now leveraged to within a larger operation. 18.9% of revenues, that is minus 5% than last year, and with very significant unit cost decline for several operational lines, meaning last mile handling and especially so transportation. And with this, we've been able to achieve positive EBIT in the quarter and EBITDA in the quarter and the accumulated EBITDA, which is, as I said in the opening slide, very interesting in the sense that allow us to achieve the break-even well ahead of our initial commitment. So a very good outlook in Spain. If we move to slide number 12, we are basically sharing the fact that the ambition is to increase market share to high single digit and grow the EBIT margin to mid to high single digit. And we are targeting at two sets of levers. One is to increase market share basically through commercial activities that are described in the slide, but also increasing profitability by developing scale, refining price dynamics, and also by deploying some Iberian projects in which scale is not based on the Spanish market, but on the fact that we have now a full-fledged Iberian operation. If we move to slide number 13, back to mail, well, the revenue trends were penalized by this inbound decline, driven by the end of the VAT de minimis thing. We have, in fact, an interesting development in several components of mail, with a slight growth in lower value mail, with an interesting growth on higher value mail, but with a significant decline in the part that contains inbound. Of course, we report this with business solutions and the fact that we have incorporated New Spring, and I'm going to expand this later on, contributes to also to growth in revenues. The most negative impact was, of course, the VAT de minimis, which is going to be detailed as well. And we see digitalization of the customer experience enabling some improvement in convenience and therefore promoting the usage of mail and contributing to a lower decline on transactional mail. Moving to slide 14, additional insight on the minimum negative impact. This was higher than we have anticipated. This is a trend that we've observed across all European posts. In fact, the EU tracked inbound mail volumes declined with the impact of the 1st of July, roughly 30%. In July, August, and September, in our case, it produced a decline of 4.3 million euros or 46%, which is something that compels us to act on a faster way to recover profitability, namely through new actions on costs that we are going to detail later on. If we move to slide number 15, an additional highlight on how New Spring is contributing to growth on business solutions. It's been so far a very successful early period. We are now focusing on cross-selling, but the company itself, with the existing portfolio of clients, is showing an excellent performance with EBIT and EBITDA above the initial plan, which is very good news. And we are now putting the commercial power of the CTT channel to grab new business for New Spring by expanding to public sector, to telcos, to SMEs and to utilities. And just to give you a brief idea, 125 new clients have been already approached since the company was incorporated. So a very good outlook for New Spring and the future of business solutions in our portfolio. Moving to slide number 16, we describe the whole range of this solutions portfolio throughout six pillars, each of them with different goals. So the first set is pure BPO, in which we include mail and document management and support services. The second set is commercial, what we call commerce service, advertising and commerce, e-commerce services mostly, and then a set of managed, of verticals and transactional, which are typically more opportunistic. And we have different strategies for each of them. So for BPO, in fact, we want to consolidate and grow. For commerce services, we need to continue to explore and grow, and we continue to explore other in an opportunistic way, in the sense that it provides interesting share of wallet opportunities with our very large customer base, especially so for SMEs. Moving to slide number 17, a word on costs. In what regards the impact of inbound, and regardless of how fast this inbound will recover, we remain very focused on costs. And so we thought that we should expand a little bit more on this, and I will pass the floor to Guy to describe our comprehensive approach to cost optimization as a quick answer to the impact of the inbound inflows.
So good morning, thank you, João. So starting on the same page 17 that João was mentioning, where we cover our cost efficiency after a difficult quarter on mail. The quick decline in inbound mail revenue obliges us to go faster in this front, in the cost front, to sustain mail profitability, although we continue to believe that structural improvements on the profitability of mail need to come from a more balanced and sustainable concession contract, and João will give you an update on that later on. The company will continue to invest in the transformation and development of its growth levers, namely the financial arm and express and parcels, but we need to reinforce and continue to aim to gain operational efficiency, and in the next slide we can go a little bit deeper on that. So we believe that last mile optimization and interoperability of express and mail networks offer room to improve. In March this year, we shared with the market the new distribution model that we call Shamrock model, that will enable basically a mailman to do three different routes in consecutive days, consequentially covering more ground and thus being more productive. We have already optimized 40% of the routes and we'll revise all the routes during 2022 before year end, and we already seeing productivity gains on the revised routes as we show in the right part of the chart. These optimized routes and other investments in technology also enable us to continue to move more parcels through the mail network. Year to date, that number is already increasing 13%. And we are also implementing a new contract structure for our last mile service providers that will bring savings above 5%. We are also doubling down the efforts to restructure corporate functions, where we are in negotiation currently, the exit between 175 and 200 people on those functions. We, and moving to the next slide, we also believe that we can see more cross-border synergies with a renewed and increasing scale of Spanish operations. In operations, we are changing the line wall network design to be more efficient in this Iberian approach. For that, we are opening three concentration hubs near the Spanish border that will enable us to be more efficient here on line walls between Spain and Portugal. And we are also deploying the new tools that we developed and tested in Spain in the Portuguese operations, namely on field force and line haul management. We built also a joint procurement to benefit from this improved scale in negotiations, and we are also unifying big management contracts between the two geographies to try to capture more savings. In slide 20, moving on to financial services, we continue to see an increase and reinforce commercial productivity. Our financial service has a very good performance in terms of public debt placement that grew 28.4%. That almost compensated the lower revenues in orders and payments, and had the pricing impact of the new public debt contract conditions. On retail services, also showing good progress on revenues, growing 37.8% on the back of new products offering and the renewed commercial focus. On Banco CTT, page 21, consumer, auto lending and savings continue to drive growth. We saw auto loans grew production 9% in the third quarter, benefiting from the opening of the economy. The credit cards through the new Sonae partnership also more than doubling until September, and we are approaching very fast the 300 million mark that we committed to develop in 12 months, although we are ahead of that plan. And off balance sheet savings continue to perform very well. The bank already has 617 million euros of these savings, and the customer funds also developing as the Portuguese economy continues to have high levels of savings. Mortgages with a slower pace, but this is resulting from the increased focus on the consumer credit side and a more reactive approach in mortgages. Moratoria is also ending in the end of September, reducing the amount to 3.4 million, and no big signs of concern on this, so we think this is mainly solved. Moving to the financial section, and on page 23, starting with our key financial indicators, where we can see that this was a good quarter in terms of revenues on the back of parcels growth, and that will be translated into profitability as Spanish operation continues to gain scale and translating that to profitability in the near future. In the second quarter, we saw our revenues grow 8.1%, with growth in most of our business areas, with the exception of Mail. As was already mentioned, Mail revenues suffered by a higher than expected impact following the end of the minimis VAT exemption for the non-EU inflows, namely from China. In the 9 months, our revenues stood at 612.9 million euros. That represents a very healthy 14.7% growth. Our EBIT in the third quarter reached 11 million, with a strong decline due to the Mail division. And despite all other business areas being growing, the minimis impact hurt us on this regard. In the 9 months, we had 39.7 million euros of EBIT. Specific items this quarter with a positive contribution, reflecting mainly the last sale of sovereign debt securities to optimize the bank balance sheet to fund the growth we are experiencing. And in terms of net profit, 9.1 million in the quarter and 26.3 million in the 9 months. Cash flow is also going well, 8.1 million euros in the quarter to, in the 9 months, 39.4 million euros accumulated. And then next page, we can see the detail of our revenue evolution, a strong quarter, as already mentioned, 8.1% growth, despite the decline on Mail, Express and Parcels and Banco CTT clearly driving most of the growth, In parcels, we continue to have a very strong momentum, both in Spain and in Portugal, where the business unit grew 30.4% in revenues. In Portugal, volumes grew 15% in the third quarter, driven by e-commerce, leading to 8.7% revenue growth, or 18.1% if we exclude the cargo effect that is transitioning to the new model with impacts that João mentioned. In Spain, in the quarter, volumes grew almost 80%, supported by the semi-commerce trends, but also with a big effort to capture market share with big retailers customer acquisition that led to the growth of the top line in almost above 69%. Mail revenues declining 4.9% in the quarter, and mainly driven by the 4.3 million euros inbound revenues impact due to the de minimis end, where we saw a higher than expected demand elasticity and also volumes lost to other routes throughout Europe that the Chinese retailers proactively promoted. Nationally, mail showing a resilient performance, declining 1%, and business solutions growing 36.3% following the consolidation of Newspring. But CTT with a strong quarter in terms of revenue growth, 23.8% on the back of what I already mentioned, credit cards and auto loans, and also commissions growth as we continue to monetize the growing customer base that we are building over there. Financial services with a strong quarter, 10.1% growth, with strong public debt placement above 1.2 billion, and a strong growth in revenues of retail that almost reached 38%. Page 25, we have our OPEX that grew 10.3%. Express and parcels driving most of the growth with 12 million or 25.6%, but resulting from a volume growth that was almost 37% in the business unit drove that growth. In Spain, we continue to see decrease in unit costs due to the increased scale and consequential operational leverage and investment made in automation and technology. Mail growing 400K or 0.4% due to the higher costs associated with the new customs procedures in line with the de minimis and the difficulties to timely adapt the mail distribution network to this new volume reality, specifically driven by the inbound. Banco CTT growing 4.4 million, mainly due to the higher cost of risk that the new credit card activity brings, and also to IT investments and increased marketing activity. Financial services and retail growing 0.9 million euros, related with the increase of the retail sales. Our EBIT on page 26, declining to 11 million due to the mail division performance, to the already mentioned the minimum impact, despite Express and Parcels and Bank CTT with a significant growth. In the quarter, Express and Parcels growing 2.1 million euros, reflecting mainly the Spanish operational improvement on the back of that strong growth of almost 70%, mail suffering by the loss of the revenues inbound and the inability to react on timely on costs. Bank CTT growing 0.7%, driven by the credit card and auto loan performance and commissions, and financial services also benefiting from the revenue growth that we saw previously. In page 24, we have our cash flow evolution. In the 9 months, the operating cash flow stood in 51.4 million after a good second quarter in terms of cash generation. benefiting also for the specific items, positive contribution of 5.8 million euros. Free cash flow of standing at 39.4 million, and our net debt is now consolidated a net debt of 59 million euros. And now I'll hand you over to João for his final remarks.
Thank you, Guy. if we move to page 28, we decided for obvious reasons to have a more detailed description of what's happening with the concession. So as of this week, a new step towards a more sustainable concession contract was known and made public with more details. The decision was already known, but now with it's fully detailed. I would like to call your attention to the fact that we've been on a convergent route with government since the extension was imposed upon us by the end of last year. So this is a very good demonstration of willingness to proceed. What happened? Well, as said in the right-hand side of the slide, we know that it's going to be a seven-year term contract, that the procedure is through a procurement mechanism awarding directly to CTT through negotiation, and for that purpose a so-called evaluation committee, we call it negotiation committee, will be nominated in the next few days to prepare the tender and to invite us to present the proposal. What has already been disclosed on willingness to do willingness and in fact decisions to do differently? Well, on density, basically no major changes. The criteria to define the threshold for density remains with ANACOM, and we don't expect any major change. The new aspect is that now one post office per municipality was defined as a minimum threshold. We are already there, as you know. We believe this was extremely important for CDD to regain reputation, and we started that process long ago, actually a few days after I joined the executive team. And by the way, we are opening the last of these stations on the next 22nd of November. Then on quality and pricing, we have interesting news. First on quality, the parameters and the objectives should be aligned with European Union best practices. There is even a mention that it should be in line with the European Union average indicators. And the major aspect, the government will now set the quality parameters and targets. Although they are proposed by ANACOM, they are proposed under the conditions that have been described, and then it's government that takes the final decision. An interesting aspect also is that in case of non-compliance with the quality objectives, the mechanism will be mostly through compensation of new investment obligations rather than price penalties. So a very interesting setting for the future in terms of quality requirements. This likewise for pricing, now the pricing criteria, as stated in the resolution, should encourage an efficient operation and ensure the economic and financial sustainability of universal service provider, with several mentions that things have changed and the pricing mechanism needs to adapt as well. The price information will be approved by government upon a proposal by the concessionaire, after analysis by ANACOM. But before that, the criteria will be settled in a multi-year agreement to be discussed and agreed between the concessionaire, ANACOM, and the Director General concerned with the consumer. So again, good news. In case there's no agreement in that tariffs committee process, it's the government will set the pricing based on the principles that have been described. And for 2022, there's also a mention that the prices will be the prices applying to the next contract. So a very important step that of course needs
the process to be now, I would say, smooth and fast. And I would add that we have reassured, we have received several signs of reassurance that regardless of the political situation, the government is committed to take this to an end before the year end. And with this, I would invite you to move to slide 29, our last slide, in which we state the outlook. We are, in fact, ready to keep growing and to grabbing further growth. We are observing and we are, in fact, deploying the continuing acceleration of our vision initiatives that will further strengthen our competitive position. While the COVID-19 resurgence throughout Europe doesn't allow for removing the uncertainty related to the pandemic, and we have this very important new risk factor, which is the impact of the minimums on revenues. It was stronger than anticipated. Because of that, and as Gia described with some detail, we persist on cost optimization to compensate for that, so as a short-term reaction, and we see, a wide set of initiatives that will enable us to produce interesting results, we trust. But the structural improvement in profitability will only come, will only come with a more balanced and sustainable concession contract. And again, there we have good news because of the government resolution that has been described. All in all, and with the challenges and also the good news, well combined, we believe and we remain committed to achieve our finally 21 EBIT above 60 million, as stated in the previous quarter. And with this, we would end our presentation and remain open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Dear participants, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for a name to be announced. The first question comes from line of Felipe Leite from CaixaBank. Please ask a question.
Hi, good morning, João and Gui. I have three questions, if I may. The first one on EBIT target. First, just to reconfirm that the target is for recurrent EBIT and not for reported EBIT. And also, how comfortable are you that it will be possible to reach the target, considering that it will be required a significant improvement in the EBIT of fourth quarter when compared with this quarter, with third quarter. But at the same time, you are also saying that the end of VAT extension in small parcels should continue to be a risk factor. So should we expect a significant OPEX improvement already in fourth quarter, or should we see it coming from probably top-line improvement in order to reach the target? Second question, on EMP, and if you continue so positive in the e-commerce evolution in the last quarter of this year, because Amazon said recently that the increased cost, global logistic chain problems, and the return of consumers to the physical store should have a significant impact in the e-commerce already in fourth quarter of this year. So are you also expecting some slowdown of the e-commerce in fourth quarter, or should we continue to anticipate a strong quarter? And last one on cash flow, and this is actually a clarification, because you mentioned in the presentation a free cash flow in the third quarter of roughly 8 million. But despite that, your net cash position, excluding lease liabilities, stood almost unchanged when compared with one reported in first half. So can you help me to understand why net cash stood flat despite this positive free cash flow generation in the quarter? Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. So, first question, of course, we are aiming at recurring EBIT, and that should be clear. Regarding confidence, it's in fact a combination of both your suggestions. It has to be OPEX improvement and top line improvement as well. We have, of course, an uncertainty related with how the minimum impact will somehow turn, but what we believe is that regardless of that, we have room for OPEX improvement and, again, top-line improvement. And with that, I will move to the second question about how confident we remain on Express and Parcels. You are right in those times, namely that Amazon has revealed. But we have now, I would say, rather sophisticated forecasting routines and signs that we are receiving from our customers allow us to have a positive outlook for the peak season and therefore for the quarter. So we remain confident that E&P will keep growing. And I will pass the floor to Guy for the cash flow question.
So the reason the cash flow generation of the quarter didn't translate to an equivalent net debt evolution is basically the payments associated with the closing of the transaction of New Spring.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from line of Antonio Salades as independent. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Two for and are related with the bank. So the first one is related with your cost of credit risk is now slightly above 1%, 1.1%. So if you can provide us some guidance on this evolution of cost of credit risk. And the second question is also related with the first one. Your credit card yields, the yields that you mentioned on the presentation, are about 6.3%, and for auto loans, about 6.1%. However, the cost of credit risk has been increasing. So my question is, I hope that credit card loans will earn higher yield because the cost of credit risk will be higher. Can you share with us if I'm thinking right or not, or well, if you can explain this issue, please.
So let me try to clarify. So cost of risk is increasing, not because an underlying increase of the cost of risk, but because of the mix of the credit book that we have. Okay? We have around 1% cost of risk for auto loans. The credit cards, as we stated when we announced the SFS partnership, is around 3%, and the mortgage is much below all of these values. As the credit card share of the credit book goes up, it's basically mathematics function. The credit risk is improving. Regarding the your comments on the profitability, let's see, we on the credit card net contribution for our margin, it's below the auto loan contribution as we announced and as we expected.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from line of Marco Limite from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. I've got just one question left. So just going back to the VAT exemption for non-EU inbound volumes. So can you just confirm that most of those volumes are mainly small parcel coming from China but classified as letters, I don't know, such as like iPhone cases or things like that. And therefore, in Q4, generally, given that our e-commerce-related volumes, those volumes have got, you know, you've got higher absolute numbers of those volumes just because of the seasonality, and therefore in Q4 we could expect, you know, an even stronger impact to EBIT just from those volumes. And yeah, just, and actually the second question is, can you just clarify if we should expect this also for the first half of next year, just because of the comp base? Thanks.
Thank you, Marco. Let's see. So what we witnessed with the disruption of these flows is that it was basically twofold. First, it's an elasticity on demand because the overall pricing of these parcels coming from China, that you are right, are mainly booked on mail, increased. And that we have new routes to Europe because the Chinese retailers found other routes to other countries in Europe. What we expect is, first, of course, seasonality plays a role here, and this elasticity effect to go down as people realize that the Chinese retailers are still very competitive in terms of pricing, despite these price increase, and we think we can capture more share of the volumes that have been rerouted to other countries. Nevertheless, we aim to go faster on the cost optimization front to sustain the mail profitability, namely to what I already mentioned on last mile productivity gains, exploring synergies with Spain, and to optimize corporate functions, be it on the headcount front, be it on facilities, the other levers we can touch in a faster pace.
Maybe let me just add one aspect, which regarding elasticity, it's not only the increased cost because of taxing, it's also very significantly the attrition related with the customs processing of all this. And in fact, in that sense, things will improve, yes or yes. First, because most Chinese sellers are now charging VAT, and in the early days, after the 1st of July, some of them were not. So people would have to pay VAT on a very cumbersome process. And that's almost disappearing. So that is a very positive aspect in terms of elasticity. And then because after a first impact, but because these remain very competitive marketplaces, people will return. We have a sign from a very large Chinese retailer saying that they have faced a 40% decline, sudden drop to European destinations, and they expect that at least half of that we'll be back by the beginning of next year. So there's that effect of attrition also, and in fact the signs are that for that single reason, it should improve.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from line of Arthur Amaro from Caixa Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Picking up the question from Marco, we've read on the newspapers that the de minimis had an issue also related with the fact that there's been several delays of the parcels and some bureaucratic questions regarding the client to pick up the parcels. But my question is, we're going entering the fourth quarter. We expect some pickup in this kind of inbound mail. What has been done so far from CTT in order to make this process more quick and more faster or more efficient? That's my question. Thank you.
Let's see, we continue to improve to work with the Portuguese authorities that are the ones that define part of the procedures to improve the process, and we are seeing the efficiency flows improving throughout this quarter. Then there is this other impact that Ron mentioned, that is as parcels come with VAT paid in the origin, the customs procedure suddenly becomes much more efficient because there is no local additional work to make them go out of customs. So both by the process being more efficient or by elasticity, things should improve. But nevertheless, we are committed to focus on costs to prevent sustainability of mail or to preserve sustainability of mail.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe I could, and Marco, by the way, just one additional aspect is that because of this disturbance related with the VAT de minimis thing, a lot, and he already referred to this, a lot of Chinese retailers tried to find other routes. This is a trend that started with the pandemic, because when flights became unavailable, they tried to find other ways to reach Europe. And we know now that there are a number of retailers that are using other routes. Therefore, one other aspect that we are now reinforcing considerably is the commercial effort to try to understand where these e-sellers are, which channels are they using. And with that, we also think that we can improve the capturing or recapturing of parcels flows that were previously in the mail network and now are using different methods.
Very clear.
But again, because it's very important, the most important aspect is that we are not relying only on recovering of those inflows. We are taking very seriously the cost efficiency lever because that is something that we can control.
Arthur, have your question has been answered?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dear participants, there are no further questions. I would like to hand the conference over to our speakers for closing remarks.
Thank you, Nadia. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming. We remain, as always, available to our IR team and, of course, me, myself, and the whole executive team as well. So thank you again, and we hope to see you soon.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Have a nice day. Dear speakers, please stand by.